Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to be here with you all. You made it. I made it. So that's a good thing, right? Maybe only by the skin of our teeth. You never know. Where did that phrase come from anyway? Skin of our teeth. I don't know. That's a strange one. Anyway, so here's what I thought we would do. I thought we would jump right in head first. So I want to know, are we awake? Are we awake? Okay, good. Well, let's do it. At the risk of sounding too existential, which I've never been guilty of before, I've been thinking over the last couple of years about faith. And actually, how faith is a very human thing. We often think of faith as just spiritual, but it's a very strong part of our humanity. The nature of faith is that it is raw. It is very raw. It's also disordered at times. It's also persistent at times. But it can be peaceful as well. It can be hopeful as well at the same time. Faith is something we can embrace as a reality of our lives, or we cannot embrace it. Nonetheless, the nature of faith is that regardless of how we feel about it, regardless of if we embrace it or not, it's going to exist and it's going to be a part of our lives. You've heard me say this before, we put our faith in different things all the time. It's part of our life. It's part of being alive and making decisions in the world. Isn't it remarkable? Now, some might disagree with this, but faith really is a product of existence. It's a product of being alive in the world. Of course, then, the human predicament of faith, therefore, is not whether or not we possess it or that faith possesses us, but instead, where we place it, what we place our faith in. That's often the predicament for humanity. Now, I've come to understand that the more I study Scripture and the more I look at it, at times when you read it, it can feel a bit like a fairy tale. It can feel like a fairy tale with a lot of different characters who are living lives and doing things that don't even connect with our current situation. And also, at times, it may seem as though God, the main character in this story, has multiple personalities, is unpredictable, inconsistent, maybe even entitled. I'm sure we've had those thoughts before as we've read it. I can easily understand, then, why someone is hesitant to put their faith in God. It can be hard, especially when the example of God you've been shown in your life is maybe unjust, maybe sexist, maybe racist, or otherwise has characteristics that seem the opposite of love. When it comes for me, my own story of putting my faith in God, I made this decision a number of years ago. The decision was this. I was not going to put my faith in things like the accuracy of Scripture or a perfected theology or even some other form of absolute that we can try to wrap our heads around. No, what I arrived at is that the reality that God is an abundant mystery. God is a mystery. And that faith and mystery are really good companions. In fact, that's the nature of faith, is that it's willing to look at and embrace mystery. What we know about the mystery of God, of course, aside from that which we learn in Scripture, or what we learn from the life of Jesus, is that the mystery of God is experienced in life. when we experience unmerited forgiveness, essentially forgiveness that doesn't make sense or that we didn't deserve, or a sense of relentless grace. You just saw an article maybe this week about this man whose sibling was killed by this woman, and he went up to her and gave her a hug and said, "I forgive you." That's completely counter to our nature of revenge, right? That's amazing that something like that could happen. We see the mystery of God in human stories of persistent hope. Have you ever met someone that just keeps going through horrible things and yet they still have tons of hope? I mean, that seems so counterintuitive. Or what about the unquantifiable feelings of peace in the midst of chaos? That one's always surprising when the world is falling down around you or someone else, and you just have this sense of peace. Scripture calls it a peace that surpasses all understanding, right? If you look at the biblical narrative as a whole, not just the books, not just the chapters, not just the verses, it is literally one story after another where humans grapple with God. And in their moments of greatest desperation, they manage to somehow cling to hope. They manage to somehow hold on. Somehow they remain confident that God is good and that God is loving. It's really remarkable. And it's in these stories where humanity's faith, I believe, is most important. This morning you heard the words of the prophet Jeremiah. This is read in the book of Lamentations. He wrote this: "The thought of my affliction and my homelessness is wormwood and gall. My soul continually thinks of it and is bowed down within me." Jeremiah, like other prophets, experienced extremely bitter suffering. If you look at his life, he was called a liar. He was beaten. He was put in stocks and humiliated in front of everyone. He was given a death sentence. He had his life's work destroyed, burned right in front of him. And he was left to die alone in the mud. I wonder if that's my mic. I'm going to try this one. I keep hearing it feedback. You know, everyone's suffering in life is different. We all experience suffering in a different way. Jeremiah was given a really bad set of circumstances. Life was rough for him, and all he wanted was to be faithful to God. But for me, when I read the prophet Jeremiah's words, it brought back a part of my own story. When I heard him talk about his situation of homelessness, very few people know this part of my story, but and I've definitely never spoken about it publicly, but I felt the Lord wanted me to share this with you this morning. So if you'll give me some grace and some understanding, I'd like to share this with you. It was the summer of 2007, and this was hands down the hardest season of my life. There has not been a harder season, and I've been through some things before. It was during that time that my then wife decided that she didn't want to be married. And for those who have been around here a while know this is part of my story. As you can imagine, this was excruciatingly painful. It was a really horrible thing to go through, something that I had never planned for or envisioned as part of my life. But what followed, the days that followed, the months that followed, I would say were probably more miserable than even hearing that news. Now, this new reality that I was about ready to step into, the only way I can describe it is it felt a lot like hell on earth. It's at least the closest thing that I've ever experienced to that. When this all happened, She told me to move out, but I didn't have anywhere to go. I didn't have anywhere to go. I had no family nearby. I was on my own. And I had to do it immediately. So what I did is I packed up everything I could fit into my Toyota Corolla. And I called a friend of mine. And his wife was an RD at Hope College at the time in Holland, Michigan. And I went over to where they were living and explained what was going on. And they offered me their couch in their office to sleep on. And so with the things I had, I chose to sleep in this office. I didn't have really anywhere else to go. And I would keep some food in their fridge, but my mom tells this story because it broke her heart, because I had a cooler in my car where I kept food. And I appreciated their hospitality. I appreciated what they offered me, but I had lost home. It's the closest thing I can say to what it feels like to be homeless, to not have a place that is your own, a place that's safe, a place for you to recover, a place where you feel rooted. It was all chaos. And it never, I've never felt so alone in my life. You know, when Jeremiah describes his situation of homelessness as wormwood and gall, this is the equivalent of Jeremiah saying that homelessness, his homelessness, is bitter and humiliating. That's the equivalent of those words. To this day, as I tell you this story, as I share this part of my story, this experience that I went through, I feel the bitterness still of that experience. I feel how humiliating it was. So I really resonate with Jeremiah's words. Have you ever had an experience in your life where you were overwhelmed with suffering? Did you ever wonder if you were going to make it out? You thought maybe it's always going to be this way. I did at times during that season wonder if I was going to make it out. I begged God daily that somehow I was going to make it out of this. Every evening I would return late, and I didn't want to inconvenience them, so I would go and lay on the couch and fall asleep, just waiting for the morning, hoping for a new day, hoping that tomorrow would feel a lot better than today did. In his suffering, the prophet Jeremiah wrote, "But this I call to mind, and therefore have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness." God reminded me during this season of his love as the days and the weeks and the months went on. His mercy showed up in unique ways. A phone call from a friend, someone taking me out to a meal and paying for it, an invite to play disc golf, even the small things like sunlight on my face or the cool breeze of a hot day brought me hope. Hope that God was still there and that God loved me and that God was present. Obviously, everything wasn't perfect during this healing process. Things continued in chaos and pain. But God was always faithful in really unexpected ways. See, when I needed to move from my friend's couch, I had another friend and his wife, people I hardly knew from church, who offered me their guest bedroom. And they said to me, "Stay here as long as you need. This is your new home." So hope grew for me. The prophet Jeremiah goes on to write, "The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord." The prophet's words could not be truer from my own experience. I needed to remind myself daily, there is hope. There is hope in the Lord's goodness. There is hope in his salvation. I asked the Lord, because I had nothing else, to be my daily portion, to walk with me. I learned a lot about patience. I learned a lot about healing. I learned a lot about faith in this experience. I also learned that God saves. I stand before you today telling you my story, a story that's not easy to tell. And the reason I tell it is because God walked with me through hell, and he didn't abandon me. Yes, it still hurt. Yes, it was humiliating. No, not everything worked out the way that I wanted it to. God didn't fix everything. You know, God doesn't always fix our problems. He doesn't. In fact, I'd say more often than not, they just work out the way that they work out. That's part of life. However, what God does is not abandon us. He does not abandon us. He walks us through the worst kind of crap that you can imagine, neck deep, and he'll walk with us through it. He's always faithful to us, even, by the way, when we're not faithful to him. This is the nature of who God is. God's goodness is unrelenting. His love is unending. His mercy is unchanging. The reason I know these things is not because I've read them or been told them. I know these things because of what I've gone through. Because I was willing to walk with God, have a relationship with him, this mysterious God, in the middle of chaos. And I discovered a God who is willing to walk through hell with us. He's willing to walk with us through anything that we might go through. And I experienced God walking with me through the worst season of my life. Perhaps you're here today and you're having a hard time understanding this kind of suffering because you've really never had to suffer that much in life. I want you to know that that's nothing to be ashamed of. Consider yourself fortunate. However, this doesn't mean you're off the hook. In fact, your lack of suffering affords you the opportunity to enter into someone else's suffering. Use your well-being, use your peace to be present, to invite, to be a source of hope, to show the love of God to someone who needs it. Even if you can't relate, just being there is more important than you might realize. And so I pray that God will protect you from suffering in the days to come. I also pray that God will bring someone to mind that you can walk with through whatever hell they are presently going through. Maybe you fall into a group who has experienced hell before, in whatever way, and you've made it through, and so things are okay for you right now. If this is you, I pray that not only will God protect you from future suffering, but that you would become what the theologian Henry Nouwen says, a wounded healer. That your experiences with suffering would lead you to wisdom, compassion, and love for others who are suffering. May you see your own healing journey as a way to support others in their healing. I pray that God will bring others into your life who will find hope in your story. But I also pray that you will have the courage to tell your story too. And finally, if you're someone here today and you're experiencing hell right now, I pray that whatever fragment of faith that you have, that it will give you the eyes to see that you're not alone. You're not alone. God is walking with you right now through it. I pray that you'll cling to hope and that you might experience God's unrelenting goodness, his unending love, his unchanging mercy. May God's companionship and peace overwhelm you in this moment and in the days to come. This morning, we are going to take communion together. And so, after just a short time of reflection, we're going to engage with this act of understanding that God suffered too. Bobby, would you come up and join me up here? Whichever group that you identify with this morning, be encouraged that God can use you.